The programming on 88.1 FM is made possible in part by WWER Watts members, who show their support of community radio by donating online at wwer.org/membership. If you like our programming, please consider contributing to wwer.org/membership.
This is Karen Sell Sullivan, and I'm sitting with Keith Dickerson on my front porch. Well, it used to be a front porch. It's kind of closed in now, but we're watching the river this afternoon. And welcome, Keith. How are you today?
Thank you. It's a pleasure. I'm glad to be here.
We're doing this for Porch Talk for the radio, and I like to start by just asking you to tell me a little bit about your history. How did you come to be in Colonial Beach?
Well, it's real simple. I'm actually from this area, from Oak Grove. I was born in Fredericksburg,
okay.
Raised for a large part of my life in Oak Grove area. Went down to Westmoreland County Schools until I was 8th, 9th grade. And at that point, I went on to several different high schools, one of which is when I moved out the area. I came back to Colonial Beach my senior year in high school so I can graduate locally so my parents could see me. I excelled in sports. I had already achieved some major accomplishments, so I was going to attend University of Tennessee. So I came home, and back then, when I went to school, Colonial Beach was in a conference called DAC. So they allowed you to do a fifth-year senior. You didn't have the VHSL rules to apply.
Okay.
So I was actually a fifth-year senior. I was older. I was 18, going to be 19 while I was at when I graduated Colonial Beach.
And you graduated from the high school here
yes,
in town?
Yes, from the I was the very first class to graduate out of this building that is now on First Street.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 1989, class of 89.
Okay.
College didn't work out well as I expected, but it was a blessing that I didn't realize. And I ended up in the military.
Okay.
Yeah. And from there, you know, that's where life began with for me.
What branch of the military?
Navy. I didn't know it was any other branch, but I guess no, Navy for sure. I tease because I have family members, Army, Marines, and you know, we tease back and forth. So, you know, I respect anyone that's willing to put on a uniform and fight for your country.
Wow. And so when you were in the Navy, where were you stationed? What kind of work did you do?
When I was in the Navy, I started as a B2 boiler technician. And I also work as one of my rates was SK, a storekeeper. I did various jobs, but I was stationed over quite a bit. Norfolk, Bremerton, Washington, Mayport, Florida, New York, Naval Station, New York. I was TAD in Jacksonville for quite a bit. And mostly the East Coast. I went out to the West Coast once, but more for school. Meridian, Mississippi I was in, which is, if you think Colonial Beach is small, you probably can put Meridian inside of Colonial Beach, the number streets. So.
Okay.
Yeah, so yeah, it was a good experience.
Did you have a favorite place when you were?
I'd most probably, if I had to say anything, Mayport.
Okay.
Mayport, Florida. Love the weather. I'm a beach guy.
Okay.
And I just love the atmosphere down there, and it's just laid back. Norfolk was a great place if you're military, if you really, really love it. There's a lot of brass, what we call it. A lot of officers in Norfolk. It's such a big naval base. So, but I am definitely a Mayport, Florida type guy.
So after you got out of the Navy, what was next?
When I got out of the Navy, I came home and I actually got out the Navy. I wasn't planning on it. I had actually re-enlisted, but I went through experience with my wife was giving birth to my youngest son. And she had some complications. So I actually received a Red Cross message. I had to come home, and the message read that I would either lose my wife or my kid or both.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so I went, and I was in Gitmo. I was in Cuba. And on that ship, we were doing training qualifications. So I got flown off. I got helicopter. It was an experience itself. And I'll stop for a second to tell you that. On a flight deck, just so I won't get so geeky, I was on a frigate at that time, which is a smaller ship. We had one helicopter on it. Well, a helicopter was on a flight deck. So when they flew out a helicopter to pick me up, they lowered the ladder down. I put my sea bag on a hook. They raised my sea bag up. I hooked onto the ladder. They pulled me over top the ocean just in case I fell, I wouldn't land on the ship, the metal. I would land in the water. And then I had to climb the ladder to the helicopter to get in the entrance. And it was the longest climb I've ever climbed in my life.
Wow.
Yeah, but I got there and they flew me back to Florida, in which I took a Navy hop home. And I was able to get home in time. And then, you know, my wife, and fortunately, and we were blessed that we were able to keep both. The doctor saved them both. That's why I got out. And when I got out, I came back home, really didn't have any plan. My mother is retired government. She was in the government at the time. And I said I was going to go into government. But I had a ready-made family, three kids. It just didn't pay enough at the time. So I went into a trade, went into heating and air conditioning for general heating. Tried that for quite a bit. Ended up doing something. My dad has a trucking business. I took to driving. So I would drive on weekends and do things in the truck. So I ended up getting my commercial driver's license. Started driving for Waste Management and end up being the regional VP by the time all was said and done.
Wow.
Yeah, so it went up the ladder pretty good. But at that time, with my retirement, and I went back into government, the money wasn't there, went back to Waste Management. And then I was living in Northern Virginia, and I decided, I said, you know, I'm getting older. At that time, I was 47. And I said, I have to make a move. I have to get back something for my retirement, even though Waste Management has a great retirement plan, nothing like the government. Yeah. And I have all this government time. Why not enjoy it? So I end up getting back into government and end up moving back to the area, working at Dahlgren. That's how I end up here.
All right. Yeah. And so you've been now at Dahlgren how long?
This would be my fourth year back at Dahlgren.
Okay.
Yep. I left back in 2012 originally. And then I end up coming back. I enjoy it, local. And the whole time I was moved, and I moved to Northern Virginia 2012. Then I lived in a hotel. The actual company, Waste Management, paid for me to live in a hotel for 3 years.
Wow.
And then my wife and I decided to get a place up there. We was trying to decide. And so we got a place, and my house sat dormant. Nobody in it, you know, the entire time. So we would come back on weekends and things. What a lot of people don't know, and because I don't really talk to a lot of people as far as my business, I commuted during season. That's why when I coached football, baseball, I stopped. And nobody really asked why or never, you know, wondered, but it's because of my commute. So while I coached basketball, I would drive from Montclair. I would drive from D.C. every evening to basketball practice and then drive home.
Wow.
And for games. So late games, I would stay at my house and then drive back the next morning.
So tell me a little bit about that. Who got you involved with coaching? And that was here at the high school or the middle school?
It was at the middle school program. When I got involved, the old school was standing.
Okay.
He had to learn. So Coach Swope, actually Steve Swope, he called me. He heard that I was back in town. And he was like, hey, Keith, you know, you're back in town. Hey, I know, you know, you were a great, you know, Drifter alum. Would you like to be a part of the program? So, you know, I came down and I had younger kids. I said, this would be a great opportunity. I could spend some time with my kids. Started coaching middle school basketball.
About when was that?
1999.
Okay.
Yep. So I coached middle school basketball for to 2001. And then I started coaching football.
Okay.
And then it just, from there, it just morphed into everything.
Yeah.
So, and then when finally, I still continue to coach basketball. But in 2007 and 2008 season, I applied and I got the girls basketball head coaching job.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wayne Kennedy, he was the athletic director. He encouraged me to go ahead and apply because I was going to stay with boys. And I did. And it was probably one of the better decisions I made. It was almost like, and I don't compare it, the military changed my life. And coaching basketball and having something structured helped my life get fulfilled. And so, so we did that. So I started coaching with the girls on the varsity level. And so,
and when was that?
And that was 2007, 2008 season. And I coached up into the 2018 season. And that, which I had a 10-year plan, see what I can do in 10 years, and then I would move on. Because I was especially living up in Northern Virginia. Well, we end up going to, I've never had a team that have not made the regional playoffs. And we went to 5 straight state appearances.
Wow.
And, you know, we had a real good group of girls. And, you know, we had girls to play college ball to go on. And so it was a good experience. But when I stepped away, I was done. And I said, you know what, I'm done. It was a good run. I'm still young. But Dr. Newman, at the time, mm-hmm. The boys' position had come open.
Okay.
And he said, hey, look, can you come and help be a bridge? Okay. I said, Dr. Newman, I can give you 2 years.
Okay.
2 years turned into 4.
Okay.
So, in which we made it to the state semifinals and the state finals 2 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, and in this upcoming year, I was sort of obligation because I said I was going to go back to the girls had I been. So sort of was kind of a word, hey, you said you were going to do this. This was on a temporary, you know, and I was walking away from everything. So I ended up going back to the girls this year.
And how has COVID affected?
For us this year, it's been not as bad as some have experienced. We haven't missed any games because of COVID. We have missed some girls playing because of COVID.
So somebody will test positive and they have to sit out.
Yes. Yeah, what it is with another team and what the experience we've had. We were playing a team and then we got a call the day after that someone had tested positive. So any non-vaccinated kids on the team would have to sit out for 10 days. And so we went through that. We've only been through that once. Fortunately, we've been pretty good. You know, COVID is rampant. I think it's here to stay. So, you know, just trying to live life with COVID.
Yeah.
And it's sad because, you know, missing that year because we didn't have sports for a year for the kids. It's something that I experienced and what molded me. That camaraderie, and I feel bad for the kids. And even though some of them would never play sports outside of high school, but it's just having that family bond, yeah. Which is very important to me. Family is everything.
So you mentioned that you were fully vaccinated boosted.
Yes.
Would you recommend that to other people?
I do. I recommend it. And what I mostly recommend is this. Everyone, I do, if you choose to make the choice, for whatever reason you may be a little afraid of or whatever, but I would just tell you my experience. I've seen more people affected by not having the vaccine by sickness and illness than I did with people who have the vaccine. So I would highly recommend, but I don't have any vitriol against anyone that don't have it. I just, for me, because of personal reasons and my beliefs, and I believe in getting it, and I was military. They pumped everything in me. I went through the line. I don't know what it was, and I'm still the same. It might have made me a little loony, but I'm still the same.
Well, like, you know, I advise people if they have any concerns because of their health to talk mm-hmm. to their own doctor.
Absolutely.
And get that recommendation rather than listening to social media and some of the stuff that's out there.
That
talk
is
to
true.
Your own doctor.
Absolutely.
Get their recommendation. Mm-hmm. You know, we're really lucky. We're having another vaccine-free clinic here
okay.
in a couple of weeks.
Oh, nice.
So
nice,
if you know
nice.
Anybody that needs one,
absolutely.
Send them our way.
Definitely.
So let's see. You were a champion coach.
Yes.
Or your team was a champion
yes.
while you were coaching. But I think you have some other interests in town or in the area.
Yeah, I do. I have several. And sports is a relief for me. I've learned that I was pretty good at it. And not even necessarily the X's and O's of the game. It's just reaching people. You know, our goal and our mission, myself and my assistant coach, Kalisha Johnson, is to help mold for our future. If we teach the men, the young men and the young women who we coach how to become effective and efficient adults on a basketball court, then we think we take those characteristics over into life. So if they get that right, basketball is secondary and it comes easy.
Right.
One of the other things that I do, I like to give back wherever I can. I'm blessed. I've always said I'm blessed. Regardless, if I don't have a dollar in my pocket, I'm still blessed. I belong to a motorcycle club. It's the Brotherhood on Wheels. We meet right here at Colonial Beach at the brewery. Our meeting's on Tuesdays. Real great organization. I have ridden with different clubs. This club is just like family. It's like home. They look out for each other. We real big on helping veterans. We do a lot of charitable runs and just giving back things that I like to do. So our beliefs and our meanings, we line up. And I think that's what life is about, you know, it's about giving back. So I love to ride, and I love to ride with a group of people that love to ride and the people that give back. We just have such a great time.
Wow. Yeah, now, really what kind of bike do you have?
I have a Harley. I have a Harley Ultra Classic. Again, like I said about the military, I didn't know it was another bike. No. But I do have a Harley. I enjoy it quite a bit. And real quick, how I got my Harley, this one. I was on vacation. I had an accident. It might have been, 10 years now. I can't remember exactly. Well, no, maybe not that long. Yeah, 2008, 2009. Had an accident on a motorcycle. And I said I was done. My wife said she didn't want to ride anymore after the accident. I was blessed. I made it through. Everything was fine. And so we were in Panama City on vacation. It was my birthday. It was spring break in April. My birthday is in April. And so we went to the Harley. So we would go to Harley dealerships, and I would buy shirts, and I would look around. So we went. It was four of us and another couple. And we were looking around, and my wife would say, hey, you like that bike? I said, yeah, it's a nice bike. You like this one? Yeah. So we went on just regular old Friday. My birthday was that Saturday. Went on, just we stayed in there two or three hours, a couple hours looking at the bike. So we went back, left, and then it never dawned on me then, but that later that evening, the phone rang, my wife's phone rang, and we were at dinner, and she got up and walked away. She never does that. You know, I'm like, what is going on? I didn't think about it. So maybe she couldn't hear. Maybe one of the kids, something's going on. So now I'm concerned. What happened? Oh, no, everything's fine. So Saturday morning, we got up and get another phone call, and this was the couple we were with. So, hey, we're going to ride to the Harley dealership. Y'all want to go? I said, I really feel like it. I said, I'm just going to hang at the beach. He said, no, we want you to go. And I was like, okay, they want me to go. So so I go and get over there. So I'm still walking around, and they're looking at bikes, and then I hear the bell ring. It's a traditional bell. Ding, 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 ding. Congratulations to Mr. and Mrs. Diggers from Colonial Beach on the purchase of any new Harley. Yeah, and so long story short, my wife bought me a bike for my birthday.
Oh, wow. And that was a little over 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was 2000. My bike is a 2012.
Okay.
Yep.
So it's 10 years old this year.
Yep.
And where have you ridden it?
Oh, where haven't I? All over. We go up and down Daytona, Myrtle Beach, mostly on the East Coast, but went to East Coast Sturgis. I've been to Alabama. I've been to Florida. Everywhere. Just whenever we ride, and we just put our feet up, turn the radio on, and ride.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Now, when you go to, it sounds like you go to a lot of beaches. What do you like to do at the beach when you get there?
Oh, I'm telling you, I'm a busybody at the beach. You know what I love to do at the beach? I love to turn on the music, pour me an adult beverage, and put my feet in the sand, and leave me alone for 8 hours.
I just want to relax,
and I love it. And we do a lot of bike weeks, and most of them are associated with beaches. But when I'm not on a bike, when we just on vacation, it's also associated with beaches.
Okay.
Yeah, I just love a beach. Sometime we go, even here, you know, we pretend we tourists. So we'll pack a lunch and bring a tent, and we'll go down to Colonial Beach. And we act like we don't even know we're here. We ask people questions. Hey, what's the good place to eat at? And, you know, and we'll sit on the beach all day long and listen to a little music and sit back and just relax and just enjoy it.
It's such a great place for families, I feel like. I love this town. I mean, I've been coming down here since I was a kid, and my parents bought this cottage in the 80s, okay. And then I moved down full-time about 10 years ago. But, I mean, when my granddaughter comes, that's like, she wants to go to the beach. Mm-hmm. She wants to go to the beach. Get me my sand toys. Let's go to the beach, you know. And then when she gets tired of the beach, well, let's go to the playground. And we do playground hopping. Yeah,
exactly.
Do you have younger kids?
Yeah, I do not, but I do have my eighth grandchild will be here in April.
Holy cow. Yes. You got me beat.
Yes. Yep. I have three boys. And when I say boys, three young men, I should say. The oldest is 33. The youngest is 28.
Okay.
And so between that age. So, and they have, my oldest had four. And my middle has two, and the youngest will have his second in April.
Wow.
Yeah, so, and I'm looking forward to that, and I have two grandboys out of that, so it'll be six granddaughters and two grandsons.
Well, I'm glad you got some girls.
Yeah, exactly. And so they love it, so we get on a golf cart, and community I live in, we have our own private beach, so I spend a lot of time there in Westmoreland Shores.
Okay.
Yeah, so on the beach. Yeah, so it's a good experience, and I try to take them. And I'm a board member at Westmoreland Shores.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to do everything to beautify the area. And so many people really step up to the plate in the area and really help out and do good things. There's a lot of good being done that ain't necessarily being patted on the back for. And if it stopped, you would notice it.
Right.
And a lot of people don't know. You know, and the old saying goes, you know, things you do bad is carved in stone. Things you do good most of the time is written in sand.
Yeah.
So it's
Yeah, one of those other sayings that I've learned only too well is, you know, somebody makes a complaint, mm-hmm. It takes like 250 compliments to make up,
absolutely.
Even in your own mind, right?
That's the truth.
Yeah. Now, there's another board that you serve on, something called Revolutionary?
Yeah, it's a Revolutionary Youth Ministry. It's based out of Fredericksburg. What we help underprivileged kids. Different programs. We used to go into Boys and Girls and go in different communities and try to set up like internet cafes or computer labs that don't have, you know, we try to give people and it's all nonprofit. So nothing we see. There's not a paid position. this is a position because I was one of the founding members of it. The founding member was the Dondre Maiden.
I've heard of him. He's been down here. He spoke to us a couple of years ago at the Unity Vigil
that we had. Yes, he did.
Yes. In fact, Antoine gave me his number. I'm going to call him to come back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, Dondre. And his little known fact, me and Dondre share grandparents.
Okay.
Yeah, so Dondre's mom is my first cousin.
Okay.
Yep. We had the same his grandmother, Dondre's grandmother, and my mom are sisters. So Dondre, very, very talented young man. Very talented young man.
Now, he's from here, too, isn't he?
He is. He went to Westmoreland School, and he's from this area. He lives in Fredericksburg. He still comes down. We were together 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw him, but he works. He's works in the government stuff. He's a lawyer in the government, and he's done well for himself.
So it seems to me you're a real role model for young people in the community. Is there anything that you'd like to say to the young people we get to watch this show, or are there any things you'd like to say to town council or the board of supervisors about how we can make this a little bit better in this area for youth?
Yeah. I did. I think it should be a little more youth friendly. I know when I grew up, some of the things I used to come down to the beach, not just the beach itself. But I also used to come to the Blacktop, and which they have Torrey Smith Park now.
Yep.
But you know, it's so many people that come that complain, want every little noise. It's not, the kids has to be kids.
Yeah.
The problem is we make them grow up too soon. Yeah. And then when they start to do adult things, we wonder, whoa, where did you get that from? I thought you were a kid. So that's a lot of stuff we have to do. We need to focus more so on having things for the kids. If we allow new businesses, we allow things to come in the community, I think it would really help, because we do have a group of youth with nothing to do. And when there's nothing to do, you can find trouble easy. And that's what I, but I love, you know, I just want to tell for the council members, anybody that have anything to do here living in Colonial Beach, don't forget about your youth. And this is a great knit community. It always has been. I used to watch, and we had game rooms and different outlets down on the boardwalk. We had the banana slide, and we had different stuff down there. You look, when I grew up, when I used to come home in the summers, when I used to come to the beach, we go down Reno Hill. And we would sit at Reno Hill half of the night, no problem. Police would come through, and everybody just having a good time. You get to your curfew, you go home. You know, and that's the thing that I think that we've actually gone away from. We've become a social media, I guess it's the way we live. It's just now based on social media and video games. You know, I talk to some of the kids and I tell them, when I grew up, one of the punishments that my mom, my grandmother used to give me was make me stay in the house. And now that's the punishment is for them to go outside. So outside to today.
So more things, get the kids outdoors.
Absolutely.
Get them active, involved in team sports, sounds like, are important.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's very fundamental. Got to be, because you got to have that camaraderie. You got to have interaction with people. We still people. We still live. So we have to, you know. It's not all robots and machines.
Well, I have certainly enjoyed getting to know you a little bit, and I hope we can get together again soon. I understand we have a little bit of a connection. You're involved with Little Zion Baptist Church.
I am.
And I'm involved with them a little bit. Sherry Smith and I are co-founders of the Coming to the Table group.
Okay, nice.
And that's a group about interracial conversations, working towards a more just and equitable society.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we could get your help in doing something for the kids.
Absolutely.
Through that group.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We'd love to. Anything that I can help in the community, I'm more than willing to do so.
All right. Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
You have a great evening.
All right. You too. Thanks.
The programming on 88.1 FM is made possible in part by WWER Watts members, who show their support of community radio by donating online at wwer.org/membership. If you like our programming, please consider contributing to wwer.org/membership.